back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, my broadcast partner, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. It's hump day, you know. The back end of the week is just about here, which is good. We're coming off a nice little fun weekend for the NHL. Obviously, this past weekend was the skills competition and the All-Star game in Toronto. We'll go over, you know, pretty much all of that, give our thoughts about what went down for each event, so to speak, and then, you know, got the Flyers back, which is good. We're back in the swing of things with the NHL regular season. And over the course of the All-Star break, there were, a handful, maybe a little less, of some major announcements for the NHL regarding international play. So some exciting news about that. And, you know, we got more news of another outdoor game. So stay tuned for around the league for some surprises and some not so surprises.
Yeah. Overall, in regards to Flyers hockey talk for this week's podcast, it's going to be pretty light because there hasn't been too much to discuss. It was a very Flyers heavy episode last week because they were in the midst of that 5-game losing streak and the team was unraveling. And we talked about how the break came at kind of the greatest time ever. You know, just last evening, Tuesday, the 6th of October, the Flyers come back from their break.
February.
Why did I say October?
Turning the clocks back.
Good God. No, it's February. February the 6th. In South Florida against Stoli the goalie in net for the Florida Panthers. A game in which the Flyers kind of definitely were shell-shocked in period one and did not play very good and were down 1-0, but then replied with two huge goals by Travis Konecny, who else, and Noah Cates, and they pulled a 2-1 win out against the Florida Panthers, much to my chagrin. There's a vocab word for you, chagrin.
Good word.
You know, I figured it was a good time to break out that word. You know, one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference and a Stanley Cup favorite. I hate saying about this team, but the Florida Panthers, this was a good test and a good way for the Flyers to respond back after having that not so, you know, great finish to their first half of the regular season. They get Owen Tippett back in the lineup. They revamp the D pairs a little bit. And yet again, another stellar performance by Sam Harrison in net.
Yeah, it was pretty hairy there the first period. You know, the Flyers could have easily been down 4-5-0, kind of how it went with the Boston Bruins right before the All-Star break. What was that? I guess over a week ago now. But, yeah, I mean, thanks to Sam Harrison, you know, the Flyers survived that first period only down 1-0. They come back in the second period, third period. Obviously, they score two goals. They had a goal from Travis Konecny, a goal from Noah Cates. I think it was his first goal in 22 games after missing some time with a broken foot. So it's good to see Cates, you know, obviously back on the ice in general, but to get on the score sheet, especially with a goal like that, that was a nice goal to kind of just stick with the puck. Got tripped up a little bit, stayed with it, and put it in the back of the net, which was great. There was that kind of lingering dread of the fact that the Flyers could possibly get shut out by another one of their former goaltenders in Anthony Stolarz. Obviously, we saw that just a couple weeks ago with Alex Lyon and the Detroit Red Wings, you know. But I think, again, you know, the All-Star break was definitely beneficial, at least from last night's perspective. We'll see how it is going forward here with the sprint to the, hopefully, maybe the playoffs. I don't know. It's crazy that we're thinking about that at this point, but
because we weren't last year.
No, we were just, you know, we've already, we're just like, hey, season's over, you know,
we'll next year's problems.
See you again next year. Yeah.
Why not, Matt?
Yep. But no, I mean, it's crazy. I think, you know, that the playoffs in the East are going to be interesting just to go there for a little bit, because I know that Brian Boucher and Jim Jackson were talking about it on the broadcast last night. But with the way the standings are in the East right now, the playoff picture could potentially be the, obviously the top three teams from each division, the Metro and the Atlantic. But I think the Atlantic division has both wild card spots right now as well.
They do. Yeah, right now in the Metro division, it's the Rangers, Hurricanes, and then Flyers. And then in the Atlantic, it's Boston, Florida, Tampa Bay. And the wild card is Toronto and Detroit. But then just behind the heels in the wild card are the Red Wings, are the New York Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the New Jersey Devils, the Washington Capitals, and hell, even the Montreal Canadiens. They're all, I mean, the Canadiens and the Caps are a little far back there at 7 and 8 points respectively out from the playoffs. That's a couple of games that's hard to make up this time of year. But the Devils, the Penguins, and the Islanders are all within 4 or 5 points of the last wild card spot. And even the Flyers at 58 points. So they're technically, they're tied with points with Toronto and Detroit. So even their lead for third in the division is slim over the Islanders. It's only a two-game spread. So things are a little hairy.
Yeah, and I mean, it's only going to get, I don't know, hairier is not the right word, but it's going to heat up. It's going to heat up from here. Obviously, you know, we haven't really used this term too much in the last couple of years, but the march to the playoffs, I think is going to be, you know, March is going to be a huge month. You know, obviously we're just kind of over a week into February here, but these next 2 months are a very make or break time frame for not just the Flyers, but for any team that is in the hunt for a playoff spot to make the postseason and to have a shot at, you know, winning the Stanley Cup. So we've only gotten started here, obviously, with the back end of the Flyers, I guess the second half of the season. There's only, 31 games left, I think?
Yeah, they played 51, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 31 games. So we're in the thick of it, and I guess, Matt, real quick, if you wanted to give your one last key to the second half of the season, I know my one last key to the second half of the season is they need to play better at home. They're 11-12-2 at the Wells Fargo Center, but they're 15-7-4 on the road.
Yep.
Like that's home cooking. That's the Wells Fargo Center. You need some wins there.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they played the way that they played in the second and third period last night, they had that fight in them. You know, they had those balls, as Torts was saying.
That dog.
And I think it's maybe a good thing where it's not an official stat, but I, again, from the broadcast, remember Jim Jackson and Boucher saying that the Florida Panthers lead the league, so to speak, in post-whistle scrums. And I think that was...
Yeah, they're a team of rats.
Yeah. I think that was just something that, you know, sparked the Flyers a little bit, where it's like, hey, you know, get into the game physically, and you get the juices flowing, you get the emotions going, and you say, you know, screw it. If we can't, you know, we can beat these guys on the scoreboard and physically beat them as well. So I think that helped the Flyers a lot, where that game, you know, was physical, was hard fought, and it was a great game. I know, Dave, you're not thrilled that the Florida Panthers are a good team, but, you know, that's two good teams going at it for the better part of, we'll say 40 minutes, because the Flyers were not in it for the first 20. No. So, but no, I think that's a good game. It's a gutsy win to pull out. Especially coming off of a week break, especially with the off-ice drama that's been going on with the Flyers and the Carter Hart. But, you know, they're past that. I think, again, like you said, too, that the break came at the right time as well, where these guys can just get away from the rink, kind of refocus, rejuvenate physically, mentally, all that type of stuff, come back with, you know, positivity. You get a guy like Owen Tippett back, too. I mean, he's having a great year, just signed that long-term deal, and that kind of, you know, put some wind back in the sails, which is good. So, again, it's one game. They have another tough test tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. I'll be boots on the ground for that game.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah. Hoping to, I know some people are not fans of them, but I'm hoping to get my hands on a Stadium Series jersey. I think I said this last time when we recorded, but I talked to an employee at the team store, and they said that tomorrow would be the first time that they're selling Stadium Series apparel, which I would assume means jerseys. I did see the Rangers. Someone must have retweeted it on Twitter last night, but the Rangers team store at MSG had their Stadium Series stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire in a good way. So hopefully the Flyers do have, you know, their jerseys and stuff available tomorrow, and I'll snag one. And, you know, just when I think I'm not giving this team any more of my money, they got me hooked. So
they reel you back in.
Yeah, but I think, again, like we talked about last week, these are good jerseys. They're unique to, you know, what the Flyers do. We haven't really seen too many over-the-top creative, or I guess out-of-the-box creative Flyers jerseys over the years. You know, they've stuck with the winged P logo for their main logo forever, aside from, Dave, when you said it was chromed or chromized, however you want to say it.
Chromatized.
There we go. We're going to make that word up tonight.
Yeah.
But even those jerseys I thought were awesome. If they would have brought those back in some capacity, that would have been great. But, you know.
They did. They also did add some of that really ugly gold for the 50th anniversary sweater that might be one of the worst sweaters of all time.
Yeah.
But dumped by the Flyers.
God. So, all right. Speaking of the Rangers, and this is going to be bad, I think Mikhail Sergachev might have just broke either his ankle or his leg. He's getting taken off on a stretcher currently in the Tampa Bay and
Rangers
game. So hopefully, you know, he's not okay right now, sadly, but hopefully it's not anything major. He is being stretchered off, which is, you know, scary to see, but it's, you know, you don't love to see that.
No.
But back to the Flyers again. We hope Sergachev, you know, isn't too. You hate to see someone get hurt, no matter what team they're on. But again, I just tried to segue that into the Rangers quick. Back to the Flyers, though. Again, the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night. That's another tough test. The Flyers did shut them out last time in Winnipeg. But Dave, like you said, the Flyers have had a little bit of trouble winning at home this season. So, you know, we'll see. I believe the Jets beat Pittsburgh. Or no, Pittsburgh. Did Pittsburgh beat Winnipeg last night? I think they played in Pittsburgh last night, but I'm not sure.
I can tell you.
Bad radio.
Just last evening, the Penguins shut out the Jets 3-0 last night.
Oh, 3-0 Penguins. Oh.
Yeah, 3-0 Penguins. Letang, Jeff Carter, and Rust scored the three goals for the Penguins last night.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Winnipeg, I guess, looking to get back into the win column since the All-Star break, and the Flyers looking to build some sort of momentum as well. I think their next three games are at home.
They are.
The Flyers, they have their – we'll just go over this, you know, since we're very Flyers, not heavy tonight. But their next home games, obviously, starting tomorrow night with the Winnipeg Jets, Saturday night against the Seattle Kraken, and then Monday the 12th, they round out their three-game homestand against the Arizona Coyotes before going on the road for Thursday the 15th in Toronto, and then Saturday the 17th, once again, boots on the ground at MetLife Stadium, taking things outdoors for the 2024 Stadium Series against the New Jersey Devils. So, you know, it's not going to get any easier. The Flyers, again, I think, Dave, like you said, that your key for the second half of the season is to be better at home. I think that definitely is a great key. I think my overarching key, which could definitely encompass that as well, is just consistency, where this team has to be consistent. There's really, you know, it's as simple as that.
Play their set game. The tone.
Yes, set the tone. And, you know, they, like I said, they have that. We've seen this team have the, you know, the balls, the edge, that fighting spirit, and they've looked awesome. And if they can, you know, harness that energy some way, shape, or form, just on a consistent basis, then they'll be okay. Hopefully, knock on wood, you know.
And if they can set the tone, and if they can come to the Wells Fargo Center playing meaningful hockey, the fans have already started to return this season, especially as of late. But if they can play winning hockey in the Wells Fargo Center and they make a true push to the playoffs, that place is going to be rocking, and the Flyers will be, again, a must-attend sporting events in South Philadelphia.
Yep. But, I mean, I think that's really it for the Flyers this time around. Dave, again, we've only been, you know, one game back since the All-Star break. But speaking of the All-Star break, we can just dive right into it. Again, this past weekend on Friday and Saturday, the All-Star weekend festivities took place at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Canada. If you don't know where Toronto is, then, you know, sorry. But, or should I say sorry, since it was in Canada. But, sorry. Dave, we can start on Friday night. You, me, Brenna, your wife, and then friends of the pod and former broadcaster Jacob Harrison and his fiance Kelsey. We all hung out at the Dave Cave.
Brenna will love hearing our apartment be called that. She already thinks it's the Dave Cave with all the shit I have.
But you know, got together, enjoyed some great pizza, wings, garlic knots, a nice spread, and watched the NHL All-Star Skills Competition.
Yes.
Or as it was called, just NHL All-Star Skills. A very interesting event. Nothing to write home about. Yeah, you know, I think we can definitely both agree on the fact that, you know, a lot of those players didn't want to be there, especially Nikita Kucherov from the Tampa Bay Lightning, who was getting booed for, you know, the complete lack of effort that he was putting into things. But it's just, you know, it just seems like these guys don't have these personalities that players used to have. I know they're young players. They might be a little, you know, shy. They might, you know, be worried about what can be on TV, all that type of stuff. It is a completely different world now than it was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But, you know, it's just tough. Like, you see guys, Leon Draisaitl was on his phone at points. Again, Kucherov didn't even care. He probably just was like, oh, you know, I just want to get out of here and go out. I'm sure that was kind of the sentiment for some of the guys as well. But they're at least having fun with it. I think that's, you know, the gist of it, or I guess the goal. But yeah, I mean, it was a different format as well, where guys got points for winning events, and then the top four players made it to the final event.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. Some good events. You know, you had the fastest skater. You had a couple obstacle courses with passing, shooting, all that type of stuff. You had the accuracy shooting, which Connor McDavid went 4-for-4, correct?
Yes.
So that dude is legit.
I mean, he won the whole thing. So.
Yeah.
He also helped come up with a good chunk of the events.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I think that's a good thing to, you know, have the players put their input into these things, because at the end of the day, obviously, they're the ones that are physically participating in these things, and you want them to have fun, but also, again, a guy like Connor McDavid, you want him to show how good he actually is. So, you know, it was great to hang out with you guys, and it was great to get out for a couple hours, but, you know, again, the skills competition itself doesn't really do much for me. I don't know how you feel, Dave, but, you know, You're on the mic too, so I'll let you give your opinion.
I feel like my biggest critique is that at first, in the moment last weekend and Friday night and Saturday, after seeing kind of what Nikita Kucherov did, I feel like he at first messed up, and I don't think he was trying to suck. And then once he missed the first couple and the Toronto fans started booing, he's the type of guy who goes, okay, I'm going to lean into this and just be the villain. Because then he was hyping up the crowd. And then, of course, Saturday during the All-Star game, when he played in the one game he played in, he scored first and literally went to the crowd to egg him on because they were booing him based off of last night. I get why some people were upset, but like he's the guy going, hey, if you're going to boo me, I'm going to fully just show you like, I don't care.
It's like being the heel, I guess, in wrestling to a degree.
Yeah, and you know, any publicity is good publicity to an extent, and his lack of effort, you know, was definitely front page news in the hockey world.
Yeah.
I did like some of the events. I did like the goalie challenge at the end where the players had the different area where the pucks were higher points. I feel like they should have made the pucks different colors so you knew what was what.
Yeah.
But overall, and my other speaking gripe is like they didn't have enough of the players participate. Like it was only select few who participated in the skills comp, and there were multiple from one team.
Yeah.
They should have had like done in years past where all the all-stars participated. Because it's like, what's like some of these guys, like if you want the players to actually enjoy their time and be at the all-star game weekend, having 80% of your all-stars only play in the game itself and not do the skills comp is just going to feel like make the players wonder, why the hell am I here when I could be in Mexico right now? You know, or Mexico or somewhere on vacation. Tropical. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere that's like, not Toronto in February. Yeah.
Like it was cool. Like you could tell Connor McDavid, you know, him giving Kucherov like, you know, the dagger eyes. And you could tell he actually wanted to win and he cared.
Yeah.
And you know, he won $1 million because Connor McDavid needs another $1 million. But I feel like at first I thought it was one of the worst skills comps in the entire All-Star game history. But then it grew more on me. I think there's potential. They're making it into something that could be more fun. Again, it's always something that's more fun for the people who are attending the game, the skills competition, than watching on TV. And also, this is a point I'm just going to make in general. This isn't the All-Star game weekend is not aimed at the adult, you know, quote unquote, boring hockey fan. It's aimed at the young fans. It's aimed to grow the game, and it's aimed to grab the eye and the attention of the either very casual or not at all hockey fan. And it does that well. Those groups of audiences tend to love it, where the diehard hockey fans hate it. So we need, and Jeff Merrick made this a very good point on their episode of 32 Thoughts earlier this week. Not everything in life is aimed to please each of us individually.
Yeah.
So some of us just need to be okay with that, you know, hey, the All-Star game isn't for me. It's for these groups of people who really enjoy it, and it helps grow the game, so it's okay. That being said, I'm like in the middle. I think there's potential for it. And I think they can grow on the skills competition next year. But moving on to the games itself, Masher, the next day, I thought some of the games were great. It was like the greatest beer league games you're ever going to watch. It's kind of the universal rule of someone's on a break on a breakaway. There's no back checking.
Yeah.
And there was some really good. There was really some excellent comebacks. Like game one was Team McKinnon, who I was rooting for because of TK, against Team McDavid. Team McKinnon had a 3-1 lead with like a minute to go in the second period because they only played 2 10-minute periods.
Second half, and
they lost. They lost 4-3 in a shootout.
That's kind of a bummer too when the All-Star game goes to a shootout.
Yeah, but it was. I thought it was still kind of fun. Like there was some drama. The games weren't like.
It's just. It's ironic.
Yeah, the games weren't boring, and I did like how there wasn't a whole lot of defensemen. It was mostly all forwards. So like each team only had one or two defensemen on their team entirely. So sometimes you had 6 forwards out there on the ice.
Yeah.
So there was really it was a nice highlight of skill. Some of the plays were electric, and especially you could tell Team Matthews, of course, ended up winning the whole thing, and Austin Matthews won MVP of the games on Saturday. They wanted to win, and you actually saw them taking things seriously.
Yep.
So I like that, because in years past, when the NHL was doing, you know, Team Western Conference versus Team Eastern Conference, and we would get games that were like 20-16, and you could tell the players weren't caring out there. You know, it was kind of, that's when it was getting dull and boring. Now with this 3-on-3, it's getting, you know, interesting. Now there's a money prize, and if it's the home, typically the home team person that has the most All-Stars, the host city team usually wants to win well for their fans, and you know, good on some of those guys from Toronto. You finally won something. So overall, I enjoyed it. I think the game itself was some of the better games that we've seen in the past couple of years. But just like everything the NHL does, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, the All-Stars, the skills competition, at least, like you said, isn't for everyone. It's not geared towards everyone. I think, again, if I was, you know, a preteen or a teenager as a hockey fan, you know, I used to be so excited about that type of stuff. Now I'm just like, it's kind of, you know, corny. But I'm sure, again, like if we have kids, hopefully someday, you know, it's just that'll be something that we can, you know, watch with them and be like, oh, check this out. Like, this guy's about to, you know, skate around a big Gatorade bottle or something. I don't know. Like, it's not supposed to be, like you said, it's not supposed to be for everyone. But again, it's just supposed to be there to serve its purpose, so to speak, and just, you know, have fun. Don't read into it too much. Like, it's not meant to be anything serious, so to speak. It's just, again, to show off the skills that these players do have in different, unique, and albeit, you know, sometimes corny ways, but that's just how it is. And that's, you know, how you accept it, so to speak. But yeah, the actual games themselves were really entertaining. I was kind of bummed that Team McKinnon didn't make it past the first round, but
yeah, so was I.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can't really say that teams went up against juggernauts, because every team was pretty much a juggernaut, because you have, you know, best on best for the most part. But yeah, I mean, it was really entertaining. I watched the whole broadcast, which was cool, even between periods. I think the NHL definitely got it right with the younger crowd, with Tate McRae performing during the second intermission. I don't know if it's just my algorithm or what, but, you know, that her performance and snippets of that was all over my TikTok, all over Twitter, all that type of stuff. So I think to get, you know, one of the best rising new pop stars to perform at your All-Star game is definitely a move, a power move. So, you know, and she's also good looking. I'm not going to not say that. But, you know, she's got bangers. We've talked about this before, but, you know, Tate McRae, I think, definitely stole the show for that second intermission. And it was good that, like you said, Dave, even though these things aren't, I guess, major, for lack of better terms, they're getting people talking about hockey, where someone sees, oh, Tate McRae was in the NHL All-Star game. You know, then they figure out, oh, she's from Canada. Oh, you know, she used to date a guy on the Columbus Blue Jackets, but she lives in Calgary. So it's like you're getting, you know, not sucked in, but you're kind of like wading into like the hockey world and kind of figuring it all out. And that's kind of, you know, what can draw those new fans into the game. So I think overall, I think the, you know, the All-Star weekend was a success, especially if you have it in a hockey city like Toronto. Obviously, like you said, too, it's the only major thing that Toronto has won in so many years. So,
and major in major quotations.
Yes. Winning the All-Star game, you know, doesn't get you a banner. So,
no.
But no, I mean, again, fun weekend for hockey. Great to, you know, get together friends wise and have some good food, a couple, you know, beverages responsibly, of course. And just, you know, enjoy and celebrate the game and kind of take a break from the stresses of the, you know, as fans, and I'm sure the players too, the stresses of the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, it was a very nice weekend. And, you know, looking forward to now where, you know, as Flyers fans, we're watching meaningful hockey in the second half of the regular season. Now, The wheels could fall off,
yeah.
But you never know, and every game matters still, and yeah, that's a huge right step for this team and where they currently are, and things are going to get very interesting as we, you know, we get closer and closer to the NHL trade deadline. But with that, Matt, that's kind of going to wrap up our coverage here on the Flyers and the All-Star Game weekend. How about you say we take things around the league and perhaps go international?
Yeah, so this year will actually be the, I think, the last year for an All-Star game for the next 3 years?
2 years. The next All-Star game will be in 3 years.
So the next All-Star game will be in 2027.
Yes.
Because it was announced over the All-Star break that the NHL is going back to international play in one unique format, but also another familiar format. The first one, the new and unique one, will kind of be, you can't really call it a World Cup. Their name for it is the NHL, the four NHL nations face-off. It will be in, you know, this time next year, kind of replacing the All-Star break, all that type of stuff. It'll be, again, four nations facing off with teams of NHL players from Finland, Sweden, Canada, and the United States competing in a round-robin tournament. According to NHL.com, a total of seven games will be played during a nine-day period from February 12th to 20th, along with two practice days, February 10th and 11th, and will be held in two yet-to-be-named North American cities, one in Canada and one in the U.S. I believe those cities are going to be Montreal and Boston.
Correct. They've already been leaked. Yep.
But, you know, I think this is a cool idea. You know, yeah. It's kind of a bummer that they're leaving out some of the European nations. Like, you know, you have, Czechia, Slovakia. I mean, you know, Russia. No offense to Germany, but I don't think of Germany as a hockey powerhouse necessarily. But yeah. It still has some talent. I think that the big four that they have in this Four Nations Cup or Four Nations Tournament, whatever you want to call it, I guess it's the Four Nations Face-Off is the official term, but it's still going to be fun. And I think, you know, the fans as well as just, well, I guess the fans really are thirsty for international hockey, to see best-on-best hockey. And, you know, we'll get to another instance of that being announced here. But, Dave, just, you know, some quick thoughts on the announcement of this Four Nations face-off that will happen next February.
You know, outside, you know, teams in Europe, these are kind of the top four hockey countries in the world. What I find interesting is the reason why Team Russia is not participating is because apparently, and I heard this from Adam Wilde on the Steve Dangle podcast, Finland and Sweden told the NHL they would not participate if there was a Team Russia. So that's spicy. But no, these teams are...
Well, I think that little bit of, you know, there's a war going on still, too, kind of.
Yeah, there might be some issues with Russia kind of invading Ukraine, something going on over there, you know. Kind of a whole kerfuffle. So that's happened there. But other than that, I mean, these teams are going to be stacked. I mean, Team USA, when Team USA and Team Canada go head-to-head, oh, baby, buckle up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and also, I mean, every game's going to be must-watch television for a hockey fan. Every team, like I said, is going to be loaded. But especially, like, while Team Canada may be weak on goaltending, you're going to see a Canadian team that's probably going to have Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, and Cale Makar all on the same team together, which is absolutely insane.
It's scary.
I mean, Team USA is going to have the Tkachuk brothers. They have a plethora of goalies to pick from. They've got, you know, Adam Fox. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau, Austin Matthews. I mean, it's going to be unreal. And any four of the teams would come out and win this thing. Obviously, you have to think that Team USA and Team Canada are probably the top two favorites. Yeah. But I could literally, I think every team that is iced based off NHL talent has a legitimate chance to win this thing. And I am very much looking forward to this. And I'm also looking forward to, I think the NHL does a better job even now with Fanatics, and even now with Adidas/Fanatics and next year only being Fanatics. Their jersey design is much better than Nike, what Nike does internationally. So I'm looking forward to potentially seeing some unreal sweaters for these countries too. You know, of course, you know, Sweden's probably going to stick with their triple crown, the Trey Kroner. Finland will probably do something with their Blue Cross. Canada's probably going to involve a Maple Leaf in some form or fashion, but I really hope the NHL with Team USA, they lean into a good old Stars and Stripes and do a nice, like, Miracle on Ice tribute sweater. I think there could be some unreal uniforms at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of potential, obviously, like you said, with the, I think, any country, really. You know, we've seen some cool ones internationally over the years from any, like, international team, really. You can't go wrong with a nice Miracle on Ice-inspired USA jersey. You know, just screams, you know, bald eagles, apple pie. I know it's not hockey, but baseball, you know, America's pastime, stuff like that. Anything you want to, you know, that's going to be inspire, you know, patriotism, freedom, all that jazz is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Freedom, America. Oil, light, what? Huh?
But no, I mean, it's going to be awesome. You know, I'm sure we're going to have, I guess, is that technically going to be our first international jersey watch?
Yeah.
Because I guess you can count the Heritage Classic, but, you know, that's
still NHL.
That's just our neighbors to the north.
Yeah, it's just as goofy Canadians, eh?
Yeah. And not saying, you know, not taking anything away from them, but this will be the first, like, hey, you know, Sweden came out with their jerseys, which, you know, this is the non-humble traveler in me that, you know, been to Sweden, humble brag.
Not a burden deal.
So, but might have to get a Sweden jersey. Who knows? Just because I've been there for 5 days. So,
I mean, Sam, you never know. Sam Harrison could represent Sweden. You know, you could have Travis Konecny on Team Canada potentially. Cam York maybe on Team USA.
Owen Tippett on Team Canada.
I mean, Team Canada is gonna be on. Team Canada. Every line could be a elite first line on their respective NHL team. Like, and that, I think that's how this whole tournament's going to be. It's literally going to be.
I mean, it's like whoever doesn't make the team, you can make an entire other elite team out of them.
Yeah, it's going to be unreal. Hopefully, Team USA does a better job selecting and building their roster than they did at the World Cup that happened a couple years ago, because that was not a good appearance for Team USA. But USA hockey till we die, so.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And speaking of awesome, we have another special return to international hockey that was also announced over this past NHL All-Star break. For the first time in, technically at that point, it'll be 12 years. But for the first time since 2014, the NHL announced that it will be going back to the Olympics with best-on-best players instead of what they used in what year was it?
The past two Olympics, Winter Olympics.
Yes.
In South Korea, and then
it was Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang.
In 2018.
China.
It was because of there was no agreement with the NHLPA, the IIHF, and the International Olympic Committee. There we go.
That's committee.
And then, you know, there was a little something called the pandemic as well. That kind of
COVID-19, yeah.
Threw a little bit of a wrench in things. But
just a wee bit.
Yeah. But now that, you know, we're past that, which is great. Again, like I said, the NHL is going back to its best on best international hockey, with the NHL returning to the Olympics in 2026. Those Olympics will be held in Milan, Italy. You got to give the hand gesture.
Gabagool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Yep. NHL players are going to be throwing the Maradonade over in Italy.
Gonna have some chicken palm tweeting a Bucci cross like I did earlier tonight.
Oh, God.
Hey, Brenna made sidetrack. We're going to talk about food 2 seconds. Brenna made an unreal chicken parm tonight. Like, this is a top tier dinner. Like, she. Chef's kiss went all out and above. It was phenomenal. So, chicken parm and hockey, they go very well together. You know, it's normally a good pregame meal.
There you go. Actually, this is interesting. So, this article from NHL.com says the NHL will hold an All-Star game in 2026, to send off NHL players to the Olympics in Milan, and the plan is to alternate the World Cup of Hockey and the Olympics every 2 years afterwards. So
interesting.
Yeah. I think, you know, the days of the All-Star game might be coming to a close.
Well, I mean, if they're going to do one before they send their players off to the Olympics, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So like, how do you do that? And that's like a super long break in the season for players who aren't playing. Like they probably will have like mini training camps when they get back, because the players might have like a 3 week break in their season.
Yeah, it'd be lit.
Lots of hockey to watch, though. I mean, I'll let you finish your point, Matt. But I'm Olympic.
Yeah, but what's the time difference going to be? That's the thing.
My father-in-law works for a Swiss-based company. Has to go to Switzerland, and I think they're like 8 hours ahead of us.
Same time zone as Milan.
I'm not sure, but
anyway, while you're looking at what I was going to say, time zone? I remember in 2018, the women's gold medal game for Canada and the United States, when the United States won, was at like. Wasn't it like 3 a.m. or something like that? Or the game started at midnight? But go ahead if you have the time difference.
Yeah, right now, currently, in Milan, Italy, it is Thursday, February 8th at 2:42 in the morning. So they're 6 hours ahead of us.
Okay. So realistically, they could play a noon game Eastern time, which would be 6 o'clock
there.
Long.
So the games would probably be like in the early afternoon.
Yeah. All right. I can take it.
Next year might have to take a little Olympic PTO break.
Might have to get a little sick day. but, you know.
They call those mental health days now.
True. Hey, it's your time. Use it when you need it. As an HR guy, that's what I say.
Hey, it's also nice to work for a company that I have both. I have sick days that are separate from paid time off.
Yeah, I do. Yep. So yep. That's the way it should be.
Gotta love a nice HR.
Yep. The less that you tell me as an HR guy, the better, because then I don't have to, you know, throw the book at you, as they say. But anyway, back to this. NHL players has previously participated in the Olympics 5 times. First in Nagano. In 1998, Nagano, I think it is.
Yeah, Nagano.
Yeah. Salt Lake City, Utah in 2002. Turin, which I believe was also in Italy. Turin? Let me get a quick geography check on that.
How do you spell it?
Turin. I want to say it's definitely...
Yeah, it's Italy.
Yep, see? Geography guy. Vancouver in 2010, and then obviously...
We're not talking about Vancouver in 2010. No. Don't bring that up.
And then Sochi in 2014. Again, they didn't participate in Pyeongchang in South Korea in 2018 because of the politics surrounding hockey, which is a bummer. But, you know, again, the NHL is just kind of, I mean, even it says in this article too, you know, McDavid, I'm sure McKinnon, all the younger guys that had the chances to go to the Olympics the last time they were, I guess was 2018 the last Winter Olympics because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I think seems so. Like
forever ago. I know. But, you know, I think that, again, these guys want to be able to play hockey, first of all, play in the Premier League in the world for hockey, the NHL. But, you know, the ultimate goal as well is to represent your country on the international stage in the Olympics. I mean... You know, it's not just some throwaway game in Rochester.
It's not.
No. It's, you know, it's Sweden in the Olympics.
Who do you play for?
But, you know, again, it's going to be awesome. We're going to see the dream teams, as we call them, with guys like you said, you know. Basically, I feel like the roster for the Four Nations Cup is going to be very similar for the Olympics. There's going to be no shortage of talent on any country's team because, obviously, the Olympics, you have more than just four nations. You have the entire world, which is insane. But just another thing, you know, to look forward to for the NHL, for hockey. Again, the best way to grow the game is to put it, you know, all over the world, wherever you can. I know that some of them have been kind of hit or miss with the whole, like, Melbourne thing in Australia, when the games were on at midnight Eastern time. But, you know, I watched it. I got to experience international NHL hockey in Sweden, in Stockholm, another humble brag, with the Global Series. So, you know, hockey is the coolest sport on earth, and it deserves to be, you know, encompassing the whole earth as well.
Yeah, I feel like for the Olympics, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the teams are going to be stacked. Will Russia be competing? That is the big question mark. Because I feel like if it's the Olympics, the Russian athletes do need to be there.
Yeah. And I
just
guess,
because you can't really call it a best-on-best tournament if you're missing, you know, Ovechkin might still be playing. Who knows? But, like, you need Nikita Kucherov. You need, you know, potentially Matvei Michkov. I mean, there's some elite Russian talent. If you're having a quote-unquote best-on-best tournament, at least do, again, a Rush Olympic athletes from Russia team.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Where, like, that's
where
they
they're not for playing for Russia, but they're an athlete from Russia. Now, there's questions because those same team name, other athletes from past Olympics have been caught doping, Russian gas. Yike.
Well, that's why they called it the Olympic athletes from Russia. That was the first thing they got punished for, was because of that scandal.
But then players, then
now there's a war.
Now there's a war, but also they've discovered that since they've done this Olympic athletes from Russia branding, they've caught players doping while you're playing for the athlete team. So that's going to be an interesting topic. But no, overall, I'm hyped that Olympic hockey is going to be back. And, you know, I just we were going to talk about the 2010 team in Vancouver. But experiencing that run as a hockey fan, I thought Team USA was going to do it. I thought that was the team destiny. We were going to have another repeat gold medal at the Olympics. And a certain captain who might wear the numbers 87 who plays in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, kind of ruined it for all of America. Ooh. I'm pretty sure at that point, that's back when you could make Facebook pages at whim. I made a Facebook page saying, if you like Sidney Crosby, you're not an American hockey fan.
Jesus.
I was 18. I was 18 years old. Cut me some slack. I think the page ended up getting like 10 likes.
Digital footprint, Dave.
I know. I'm fairly confident I deactivated the page years ago. But that was still a hell of a run. And there's some really, really great hockey games. And then, of course, in 2014 in Sochi, TJ Oshie game against Russia. The shootout. That was unreal. I remember watching that game at Winter Sport, the shootout, because I think I had to work and it was snowing because, you know, good old Diane never would close the rink down.
So I was watching it in math class at college. Or I think I skipped class to watch it because I was like, you know, I'm going to do my patriotic duty and watch the United States beat Russia.
I know a good chunk of the game. Back in 2014, we still got these thing called snowstorms in the greater Philadelphia area. So yeah. I know it snowed a lot back then. And I know definitely in the 2010 run was really cool. Is that like the winter of 2010, Philadelphia turned into the planet Hoth from Star Wars. Like we had like a major snowstorm, I feel like every 2 weeks. What was awesome about that time was I was a freshman in college and it snowed so much where we pretty much had like an extended winter break in like the middle of our semester.
Yeah.
Like a month into our semester. So like, I had, like, no classes at all during that Olympic stretch, so I got to watch every single game, and you bet I did.
I mean, I would hope if I was a college if I was a college professor, there we go, tongue twister there, and if someone was like, listen, I would love to come to class, but the Olympics are on, this is a, you know, once every 4 years type of thing. Could, you know, possibly be a major historical sporting event. Like, imagine having to go to class during the Miracle on Ice game. Like, you'd be like, oh, where, like, if you were alive at that time and you're a college student, like, you know, where were you when the United States beat the Soviet Union? You'd be like, ah, I was doing homework because I had a friend.
No, I think,
like, dude, I am going to witness one of, if not the most influential sporting event of all time. And, you know, sorry if I get, you know, if I don't do the homework.
I one of my aunts has told me that, you know, growing up, she was not the biggest hockey fan, but everyone watched that game and watched Team USA in the Olympics in 1980, and that every girl had a crush on Mike Ruzzioni after the Olympics.
I mean, I would have a crush on Mike Ruzzioni.
I mean, he's Mike Ruzzioni.
Handsome fellow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a college professor could feel generous, but, you know, some probably won't in these day and age. But no, it's, I'm very, very happy that we're going back. We're going back to the Olympics. Now the NHL athletes are going back to the Olympics because now finally it's best on best. And yeah. It'll be really, really an exciting time.
Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in the future here. You know, obviously the NHL, I think, has kind of smartened up, so to speak, and realized that, you know, what the fans want, but also what their own players want.
Yep, I was just about to bring up that point.
Is to, you know, represent their country. And, you know, I guess we could debate this quickly, too. I'm sure this is something that we've talked about before. But, Dave, if you were, if you were an NHL player, would you rather have Olympic gold or a Stanley Cup?
If I'm an NHL player, the Stanley Cup. If I'm a pro hockey player that's maybe playing in like a Europe league, Olympic gold.
Okay.
For my country. I know I'm changing your question, but no. If you're a hockey player playing in North America and you're an NHL level player, You want to win the cup. That is like your standard.
Yeah.
The ultimate dream is, you know, they have that, the triple gold club, you know, Stanley Cup, World Championship gold, and Olympic gold, which, yep, I know Sidney Crosby has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like the ultimate dream. And, you know, they're finally maybe something we can potentially thank Connor McDavid for, because he's been very outspoken about wanting to go to the Olympics. Yep. So, the best player in the world typically has some strings to pull.
Hey, I mean, that's good, though. But, Dave, we are at our last stop here, coming back to the United States we went internationally around the league tonight for the most part, but we're coming back stateside, as they call it. And it was just announced earlier tonight, after some rumblings the past couple weeks, that we'll – this is our not so surprising fact of the night, with the announcements that have come over the past few days. But it was officially announced earlier tonight that next year's Winter Classic, the 2025 Winter Classic, will be held at Wrigley Field in Chicago, featuring the Chicago Blackhawks taking on the St. Louis Blues.
Yawn.
let me give you the facts before your thoughts. But if you didn't know, according to NHL.com, this will be a rematch of the 2017 NHL Winter Classic, which was played at Busch Stadium, which is usually the home of the MLB's St. Louis Cardinals, in St. Louis. Yes. The Blues won that game 4-1 in front of 46,556 fans. Wrigley Field itself was the venue for the NHL's second ever Winter Classic, played January 1st, 2009. Between the Blackhawks and Detroit Red Wings. Detroit won that game 6-4, playing in front of a crowd of 40,818 people. Once again, this is the second time the NHL is returning to a venue for a Winter Classic. Fenway Park, home of the Boston Bruins, or not Boston Bruins, sorry, home of the Boston Red Sox in the MLB, played host to the game on January 1st, 2010, in which, sadly, the Flyers lost in overtime. And January 2nd of 2023, when the Bruins took on the Pittsburgh Penguins. No surprise here, the 2025 Winter Classic will be the Blackhawks' NHL-high seventh outdoor game, and first since the 2019 Winter Classic at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, Indiana, on January 1st, 2019, in which they lost 4-2 to the Boston Bruins. No surprise here, once again, the NHL wants their new generational talent in Connor Bedard in his first outdoor game. Obviously, he was the number one overall pick in the past NHL draft. So, Dave, is there anything that surprises you here?
No. And it's just like the NHL, while they do good things about international hockey, they do other things at home that make you just want to take your head and slam it into your keyboard and go, why? That's like, they wonder why.
It's about marketing, man. You gotta get your, you know.
But they wonder why the average hockey fan is losing interest in the Winter Classic and outdoor games. Because it's the same goddamn hockey teams every year. Now, granted, we are Flyers fans and they're playing in an outdoor game this year. But they've only been in a couple. You know, they haven't been in a whole.
I think this four? Is their. Wait. So we have. All right. Winter we have Classic. 2010 Winter Classic, 2012 Winter Classic, 2017 Stadium Series, 2019 Stadium Series.
This would be five.
So this will be their fifth.
Okay. So they're. The Blackhawks are in seven. Okay. Maybe I'm coming off a little hypocritical here, but they're repeating the same teams. The Blues have played in a couple.
I'll let you finish, but I'm going to play devil's advocate in favor of the NHL after.
Okay. But my point is now here, Chicago has nobody else besides Connor Bedard. He is literally the only player worth watching on that dog shit hockey team.
Well, at least right now, this is going to be, you know, a year.
Cool. They might have Macklin Clubrini. Whoop-de-doo. Congratulations. The Chicago Blackhawks are still going to be a terrible hockey team next year that's rebuilding. They're not worth watching. They're not worth being on national television. They're not good. I get what the NHL is doing. They want Connor Bedard, their new shiny toy out there. Everyone, look, see, look what I have. Nobody cares. Have good hockey teams playing this because the Blues aren't even a good hockey team either. They're olding. They're aging. They're veteran. They have a cocky, not good goalie. No one cares about the St. Louis Blues unless you live in St. Louis, Missouri. No one cares about the Chicago Blackhawks unless you live in Chicago, Illinois. And also, the Blackhawks, just coming off the Kyle Beach stuff, shouldn't be involved in like a game in which you're celebrated right now. This makes zero sense. It's dumb. Put other teams in it. Like, how many outdoor games have the Avalanche played in? You know? I think two.
Two. Because I think, didn't they play? They played Lake Tahoe.
They did Lake Tahoe.
They did a stadium series. They might have only done that.
They've done three. They did Lake Tahoe. They've done two stadium series games. But that's a team that has Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar, and Nathan MacKinnon on it. Get them in a Winter Classic. You know? Spice things up. There are better hockey markets and better hockey teams currently, but the NHL is just going, oh, nope, don't see them. I have my blinders on because Connor Bedard, yay, shiny toy. Must have him on television. Like, what are we doing? What are we actually doing? You know, the game, for all I know, come next year could be great. Chicago could have a nice offseason where they bring in some nice new other toys, and maybe they're going to be a better hockey team than I think they're going to be. But as of right now, I'm going, okay, but why? Make it make sense. You know me, I'm a hockey fan, I'm a sucker. I'll watch the game anyway. Yeah. But you're going to lose a lot of other people who would normally watch.
Yes.
Rant over.
Thank you. Appreciate that. what I'll do quick, too, before I get to my other point, is just run through a list of teams and the amount of times they've played in an outdoor game. So we have the Anaheim Ducks, 1. Arizona, 0. Boston, 5.
Well, they should hopefully never play in an outdoor game.
Yeah, unless they get moved to Salt Lake City. Bruins, 5. Sabres, 3. Flames, 3. Hurricanes, 1. Blackhawks, currently 6. Obviously, will be 7. Colorado, 3. Columbus, none. Dallas, 1. Detroit, 4. Edmonton, 3. Florida, goose egg. LA, 3. Minnesota, 2. Montreal, 4. Nashville, 2. New Jersey and the Islanders both 2, Rangers 5, Senators 2, Flyers 6. Oh, they're counting the 2024 one.
They're counting this year.
Yeah. Penguins 6, San Jose 1, Seattle 1, St. Louis 2, Tampa 1, Toronto 4, Vancouver 1, Vegas 2, Washington 4, and Winnipeg 2. So I think I see where you're coming from, Dave. I think, again, this was the most predictable Winter Classic announcement ever. I think it's tough because the NHL, I think, at least somewhat, with the exception, I guess, of this past Winter Classic, which was kind of a – which, well, was pretty much a dud because you had the two newest teams play. And I understand where they're coming from a marketing standpoint, but, you know, tough look there. There's only 32 teams, so there's obviously going to be repeat matchups. There's going to be repeat venues. There's only so many places that you can play outdoors.
True.
You know, in wherever around the country. I think that, you know, it's kind of like, again, you're marketing Bedard, you're marketing two strong NHL markets in St. Louis and Chicago. And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm already just like, oh, who cares? Like, you know, we've seen this before, so to speak. But we've talked about this before where, you know, outdoor games have become like belly buttons. Everyone has one. there's been so far a total of 39 outdoor games since 2003. That will be 41 after the two Stadium Series games that are played next weekend at MetLife, with the Flyers, the Flyers Devils, and the Rangers Islanders on Saturday, Sunday. You know, we can't really talk too much as Flyers fans because, again, we've been in we're tied for second most with, I think, Pittsburgh, I think just Pittsburgh, and Boston. So, but again, those are, you know, great – we're great sports cities, and I think that's what the NHL tries to do with these games. I think, again, it does take away the, like, speciality where it's like, you know, there's outdoor games, but there's four of them this year. It's like, okay, you know.
I think we need to go back to just being – there's being a Heritage Classic every other year and a Winter Classic every year and maybe a Stadium Series game every other year. You need to limit the amount.
I'm going to compare it to, like, I saw news from Disney today about Marvel where I'm sure
you know,
it's not – I'd rather have quality over quantity.
Yes.
Excuse me. Where, like, Disney announced today, I think it's Bob Iger is the CEO's name, but he announced today that, like, Marvel Studios is going to cut back in how much they produce because, holy hell, they've produced a bunch of stuff lately, and I haven't even watched.
A lot of it's been bad.
I haven't even watched most of it. Like, I don't think the last movie I saw in theaters, Marvel-wise, was might have been Thor, Love and Thunder.
And it was bad.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it, but it's not like a great movie. Anyway, but it's like...
Yeah, it's hard to beat Ragnarok for Thor movies.
Yeah, that's definitely the best of the four. Scaling back necessarily isn't a bad thing. Where, again, you know, you don't want outdoor games to be like belly buttons where everyone has one because then they're not special. If you have, you know, one or two maybe, like if you did, like you said, the Winter Classic, maybe the Heritage Classic, that was it. We did Stadium Series every other year. You know, hopefully they'll figure it out. I think, you know, I don't know. Let's just, we could talk about this for another whole podcast, what we think about
the four
games and stuff like that. But I'm just giving people the facts. And, you know, that's it for now. There's a whole other year to this game. And, you know, hey, it gives me more to talk about with a jersey watch, another one that'll be coming out in, you know, the coming months, all that type of stuff. But what I can say for now, Dave, before I give it to you to wrap up for the week is, you know, there's some exciting stuff coming for the NHL, whether it's international play or just, you know, play in general. Obviously, we have the two Stadium Series games next week. We'll talk about those in next week's podcast. Gear up for that. Boots on the ground. We're going to be a little bit irresponsible with my beverages because I'm not driving, but
ew.
Don't drink and drive, kids. But, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff coming for the NHL. Hopefully, some fun stuff coming for the Flyers. And, you know, we keep the ball rolling. So,
yeah,
that's all I've got for this week.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good things coming up. Like, look forward to your expert analysis and reporting at your upcoming boots on the ground times for these games.
Like one of those, like a microphone with like our logo, like on how they have the news.
Matt Master Giovanni here with 5 Minute Major. Your thoughts?
I'll have to have a cameraman with me, or camera person. Sorry, I have to be inclusive.
Is Kyle going to the game with you? Get him on that. There you go.
Maybe. But I'll just use my, I'll be like a self reporter with a selfie,
selfie stick.
Yeah, there we go. You get in the mic, sir.
But, you know, like we said earlier on this podcast, key games coming up with the Flyers. Winnipeg, tomorrow night, boots on the ground, Mastro. Seattle on Saturday. Arizona on Monday. We could be looking at a 4-game winning streak by the time we record next week. Fingers are crossed, knocking on some wood.
Yep.
But this is now the part of the podcast where I'll tell everyone, if you like what we do and how we podcast, you should check out our great affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies, pumping out weekly excellent content now. Sometimes now they're even doing multiple podcasts in 1 week. Mind-blowing. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So check out what they're doing. Excellent gang over there. So if you like what we do, check out their podcast. Potentially news of another affiliation coming up that I might tease for next week's podcast. So everyone, there's my little carrot that I'm going to dangle in front of our listeners there. But other than that, everyone, keep on staying safe. Enjoy the second half of the Flyer season, folks. We've earned it as fans. We've been through a lot these past couple years. It's nice to be in February and have meaningful hockey to watch. So everyone, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.